Welcome to Theology Simply Profound, a podcast of Reformed Forum. This is episode 259. Welcome back to another episode of Theology Simply Profound. My name is Bob Tarullo. I serve as pastor here at Westminster Orthodox Presbyterian Church in Countryside, Illinois. And with me, as always, is Rob McKenzie. Rob's an elder here with me at Westminster OPC in Countryside, Illinois. He's also a member of the... faculty. You're not a member of faculty. You're a member of... You're the staff... Yeah, you're the janitor at Reformed Forum.
Wow, do I need to start giving you detailed show notes? Just because I'm online, no, I don't. Sitting across from you, I would have a name tag on or something.
I forget who you are. You gave me a funny face when I announced that we were at Countryside.
What God gave you.
A funny face. Yeah, I know. You just have a hard time stopping yourself. Rob's an elder here at Westminster, but he's also director of publishing and marketing at Reform Forum. Yes.
Yeah, I'm so excited because we actually have a book that finally got to the printer. There's this paper shortage. We've got to deal with the paper shortage.
Uh-huh.
And so we have Wayne Tipton's new book coming out August 2nd. We really wanted to get out earlier, but the printer could not get paper sitting on some ship outside Los Angeles.
It was just sitting there waiting there, huh? Like all of the paper for the hymnals, for the Psalter hymnals that we've been waiting on, right?
That's exactly right. I offered to go out there with the little speedboat and go out to the container and search around for it.
Yeah. I'd love to see that. Rob climbing on board and
just need some paper. Just need some paper.
Your Mission Impossible music in the background.
So Van Til's Trinitarian Theology.
That's coming out August 2, Lord willing. And by Lane Tipton, is that what you said?
Yep. It's a companion book to the class. But it's a standalone. It's not, you don't have to take the class to complete the book.
And by way of class, just so to remind people, there's classes available online at reformforum.org. I think it's maybe /academy, but you can look for academy. It's one of the drop-down menus. And let's see, is that a cohort course? That is a course. Van Til's Trinitarian Theology. I'm looking at it right now. Let's see. Yep, comes up course, materials. All sorts of good stuff there. Is this one of the paid for ones or the one of the ones
None
that are
of the
free?
Classes, all the classes are free.
So you class
can
is
take
free.
The class, you can sign up, take the class. You'll be given quizzes throughout the class, but it's all free. There is an option with our classes, and this often comes with our new classes. As they come out, we will plan for cohorts.
Gotcha.
As well as if enough people were to want to do a cohort. For one of our older classes, contact Ryan Noah at the Reform Forum. And that just depends on teacher availability and the amount of students that want to take the course. That is paid if you want to do cohort. Mm-hmm. But you have direct access to our teachers. We have cohorts that are started, I think they started yesterday, actually.
Yeah, so you're right.
Lane is teaching. Go ahead.
No, you're right. I'm looking at it right now. And so in 2021, Van Til's Trinitarian Theology was the first cohort. And now The cohort that just started yesterday, week one, April the 5th, Immutability Reconceived, the Mutualism of Adorner and Bart, is the beginning of the Doctrine of Revelation, an 8-week online study group led by Dr. Lane G. Tipton. And price is there. Right. So this is something that does cost money because there's a lot involved with regard to the work here. And so that's what you got going.
So the classes are being taught with Lane. You get to interact with him. And of course, this is a little more involved. You have a very long paper that you have to do. But you have personal guidance by the teacher And it's really good. If you're somebody that wants to dig in even deeper than our classes go, mm-hmm. the cohort is a great way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks like papers are due June 6th. So everybody got to stay on top of it.
That's true. There's a lot of reading. I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of reading. Now for our free classes, there is reading, but it's all, of course, it's suggested because you're not actually being graded.
You just take
the class at your own pace and you take the quizzes. It's just to help you along as you learn. The Doctrine of Revelation class will be up, beginning of May is when we believe it will be live for free. Right now, it's just the cohorts are going.
Oh, I see. Gotcha. Yeah. So. Awesome. Awesome. Yeah, it's good.
And if you're interested in hearing Lane talk about one of his other books, Foundations book, Genesis 1 through 3, mm-hmm. Lane just did an interview with the guys from Theology on the Go.
Okay. Is that Jonathan Master?
Yes.
Jonathan Master, president of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary.
Yes. It's the Alliance. Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals podcast. It's kind of I think it's the stepchild of Mortification of Spin. It's somehow
stepchild. Got it linked with
it. So, yeah, but Lane did a really nice interview if you're interested in learning more about the book Foundations that we have that's available for order.
Am I correct in remembering that that is a companion to the Sunday school class he did for Reform Forum. Is that accurate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's, you know, I hesitate to say companion books because you don't
need it.
You can listen to the class and without the book, and you can read the book without the class. So they are standalones, but if you listen to the class and read the book, it just solidifies what I think is a really important topic that Lane has. He's doing some great work on our understanding, and it fits right in with what Beale's done with the idea of the temple in the garden, that God creates this temple and places his image within the temple. And Lane is helping us to understand that the glory of God, this temple glory that is there at the beginning, is there before creation. And then when God creates the garden and places his image, and God enters into his rest, he enters into a place where his people will be entered into. And Hebrews talks about this, that we are entering in at the point of salvation. So in one sense, this is the now and the not yet. We're already there in part, just like the totality of the kingdom of God has come in part. And then upon the day of the Lord, the final judgment within recreation of the heavens and earth, we enter into that final glory, that rest of God for eternity. And when there is the curse is removed and the creation is renewed, and we are forever with our Lord, free of any curse or sin.
Awesome. That's it's a good reminder of the things going on at Reform Forum. We should also say, just by way of reminder, there will also be a conference coming up in early
October,
last day of September and first day of October. Well, the actual conference is the first day of October. I think there'll be at least at one time, it's been called a pre-conference thing.
A pre-conference thing. Pre-conference event.
Event, yes.
Talking about
the day before. So there's a Friday event, and then there is a Saturday conference, potentially something on Sunday there at the same location of where it's at for Sunday school and preaching.
Right, pre-conference, and all these details will be available at Reform Forum soon.
Yes.
The pre-conference event actually is now going to be in two stages this year. The first stage will be everybody gets to come and see our new office, which we're excited about. And I have a key for it. I've walked through the office. I have a key, but we're still meeting at the old office right now. So,
okay.
We're very hopeful to be able to move in within the next couple of weeks. And we're excited about that. So we're going to start our event at the office, and that way everybody can come in and check it out. And then we'll go to dinner.
Cool. Coolio. All right. We've been talking for 10 minutes about Reform Forum stuff.
Yeah.
What are we talking about anything other than Reform Forum stuff?
Of course. Bob, we really need to talk about your preaching.
We do.
So that's what we're going to talk about.
Is yeah, it, am I getting business, my, so we're going to talk am I getting a pink slip? Is that what I'm getting?
Yes. I'm
on the sorry. Authority of Rob.
No, of course. Of course. That's right. That's right. I think everybody, I always assume that everybody agrees with me, so I can just do whatever I want. Because everybody agrees with me anyway. So no. You are a very, very good preacher.
Excuse me. Yeah.
And
sure.
And so, no, we're going to talk about the nature of preaching. Why do we, what does it mean? What does it mean in the church? We've talked about this before, but I think the reason why I wanted to talk about it today was because post-COVID, which...
Wait, are we in post-COVID world?
I don't know. We're supposed to be. Who knows? But it seems the majority of the country is now living post-COVID.
Yeah, and, or at least trying to, yeah.
I was reading an article about from a, and I'm going to use air quotes, a pastor. Mm-hmm. Who is an ordained pastor, and yet he was he's stuck. He's stuck because he and his wife, because of COVID, everybody stopped going to church. Like his church, everybody was just online stuff. Mm-hmm. But now, post COVID, he's thinking that he should go and plant a church somewhere. But they're stuck because they kind of got used to not being in church. And so his long story short, what he's ended up doing is starting this Monday evening barbecue that he invites people over, and they sit around and eat barbecue and talk.
That sounds like fun.
And that's what he's – yeah, doesn't it?
Yeah.
But that's his church. That's what he has kind of reduced. And one of the things that was interesting in that article – I mean, there's a lot of sad things in that article, but the idea of preaching just was – I don't remember him mentioning it. The idea that because people are going to come over and eat barbecue and they're going to sit around and talk. I think he did mention singing, that they were going to sing a couple of things, but he didn't mention preaching. Mm-hmm. And post COVID, I think there's a lot of people who, because of the disruption within normal church, what we understand as normal church activities, that people are talking about, well, we should rethink church. And what we do in church, we should rethink our services. Mm-hmm. And this kind of talk and thinking, it didn't come about just because of COVID. It was happening for 20 or 30 years, but COVID and the restrictions kind of put everything on fast forward. Let's leap ahead to where maybe this was already leading. And just the idea of preaching, I think, is something that is for a lot of churches that would have continued a preaching church pre-COVID are now saying we don't need that. So, I mean, it's one thing. You know, I know we're kind of like preaching to the choir when we say, "Do we need that?" I don't want that question to be that simple. But
so you don't mean to just say, "Yeah,
yes." I mean,
duh.
Can we replace? Can we replace preaching and?
No. I mean, when you mentioned this as a topic earlier today, like within a few minutes, I received an email from an organization that I get a variety of things from. I usually just delete the things that I get from them, but every now and then there's something good, so I keep getting it. And it opens up like this. It says, "I recently talked with a pastor who said, quote, I felt like I knew how to do church and was even pretty innovative before the virus. But since the virus, there's a whole new learning curve. I feel like I am in church 101 in some areas. We've had to reassign all of our staff and are still in the process of developing the processes to use this disruption for good." So now that doesn't speak to the whole topic that we're trying to really get to, which is specifically preaching, but when you mentioned people think after COVID, after the virus, living in a post-COVID world, that we have to rethink how to do church, rethink how to do what has been done for millennia now, because of a worldwide pandemic where people became afraid to be with other people without being covered up in a mask in some way. And I'm not trying to be pejorative there, because there are certain levels of that I'm not going to speak ill of those who thought it wise to wear a mask or not. But the point there is the level that it became such that people will not obey their God anymore by assembling together. So we've talked about that, right? We know our convictions here with regard to the assembly of the saints, not only here at Reformed Forum, but, you know, just our little church, which is a general conception of church. It's an assembly. And unless you're assembling together with regularity, and that's your main purpose, which is what we do on the Lord's Day, then it's really hard to call yourself a church without the assembly of the saints. And now, what do you do when you assemble, right? What do you do? Do you just get together and have barbecue and talk, right? Does it matter what day you get together? Well, it doesn't matter what day you get together and have barbecue and talk, but it does matter what day you get together with the purpose of entering into the Holy of Holiest places through the blood of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. And that day we've been called to do it on the Lord's Day, and that due because of the celebration of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, whose victory over sin and death in his resurrection was done on the first day of the week. So, okay, we're gathering now as the assembly of the saints on the first day of the week. Most Reformed churches that have remained consistent throughout the years do it as often as they can in the morning and the evening. And that to open the day and close the day, and in worship, to make the whole day, to honor the whole day as holy. And then the question becomes, what do we do while we are there? What do we do in the midst of that worship? And you brought up the topic of preaching. Do we have preaching? Do we maintain preaching? Well, I'd say, obviously, based upon our convictions about the Assembly of the Saints and what we have going on there, of course we're going to maintain preaching, right? Why? Why do we maintain preaching? What's the significance of preaching? And what else are we going to be doing? You know, I'm not sure how far you wanted to go on in this topic, but, I mean, preaching is the ministry, the proclamation of God's holy and infallible word. It's an explanation through proclamation of what God is doing as it's been revealed in his word, as what he is doing, who he is, who his son is, who the Holy Spirit is, who the people of God are, what they're called to do, what they're called to be, who they're called to be, their interactions in the world. It's proclaiming what God says in his word to a people who are there to hear it and submit to it. And what God does in that word is revive souls. If you're already a Christian and you have, you know, the Holy Spirit at work within you, God works through the ministry of his word to enliven you more, to lift you up, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to convict you of your sin, to admonish, to disciple, to discipline, all of these things. And if you don't have the Spirit, you're either hardened or you're made alive. and that's what God does. You know, you brought this up as, you know, reflecting upon this sermon that I preached this past Sunday, which was from Romans 10. And just to give sort of not a synopsis of the sermon, but of what we're kind of doing right now, because it's unique for my ministry at least. And that is going through texts that have been pulled from Handel's Messiah. I had this idea years ago and never implemented it, and I just decided, hey, why not? And it's sort of meant to be a big picture storyline of God's plan of redemption. We've been going through various texts, not all of them. There's over 80 texts quoted in Handel's Messiah. And we're at that point in Handel's Messiah where there's this little section called Gospel, the beginning of evangelism is what it's called actually. And Romans 10, trying to remember the texts, 15 and 18 are quoted. And that's the quotation from Isaiah 52, which is how beautiful the feet of those who proclaim the gospel is quoted. And the other one is, I think, from Isaiah 60 something, I'm forgetting offhand. And there, Paul is taking those and he's referencing the going on, how are they going to hear unless, you know, someone is sent? And so we went into on Sunday, you know, the idea of God sending the word through preachers. And it has to be God who does the sending because it's the power of the Spirit that goes forth through the word. And when the power of the Spirit goes forth through the word and when it's received by faith, life happens. And that is the power of the gospel. That's the power of the word of God, right? So, I mean, I'm talking a lot here, but this is what we have the privilege of having as our own, as the body of Christ, the word of God, where the Holy Spirit, the life-giving Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is at work among us. And that's through the ministry of the word in the context of the worship service. And he ministers all the benefits of the covenant of grace to us during that. And that's our privilege. That's what we get to have. And that is why we, as in living in a post-COVID, just to bring it back, maybe try to bring it back full circle for your sake here, Rob, as we live in this post-COVID world, we don't give up on preaching, right? We don't move to Mondays to watch, do they still have football games on Mondays? To watch, you know, Monday night football around barbecue and call that our church, because you have now lost the only thing that God has told us he will make people alive through. I mean, come on. It's we don't get made alive through eating barbecue as much as we might like it.
Right. Right. And there's a place, ahead. I mean, like, kind of what you're saying, where, I mean, the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, and it changes people's lives. It's a living, and we often talk about different genres of books. The Bible is in its own genre. It is the very word of God, and the Holy Spirit will use the word of God to regenerate people in their hearts and bring them to Christ. And can that moment happen on a Tuesday? Well, of course it can.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Right. And but because that's a, the people that would argue against the necessity of having a church service on Sunday and having preaching as the centrality of that would use that as an argument. Well, if I'm talking to somebody on Wednesday and we're just talking about the things of the Bible, then God can still save them then. It doesn't have to be on a Sunday, which is, of course, not what we're arguing, but that is often the rebuttal. And that's what this this pastor was would have to have as the premise of why he's doing what he's doing. What you were saying, the idea of this other pastor who is now post-COVID, he has to go back and rethink church 101. Well,
yeah.
By that statement, what he's saying is we are the ones who have created the church structure in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you get that concept already. He says, you know, because in the statement he says, well, you know, we were pretty innovative already beforehand. Right. Well, now we just have to be more innovative and figure it out. Right. You know, I don't know who that person is that wrote that. I don't know who they are. I don't want to disparage them too much, but it was the idea of, okay, COVID changed us so much and changed our society so much that we can't continue to do that which we believe to be biblical. That's how we think of it, but that's probably not how that person thought of it. And that's probably that's unfortunately not how a lot of evangelical Christianity thinks of it. And that makes me very sad and confused, but because I never went through the evangelical thing, as we've talked about before on the program, that's just not my heritage. Right. And right. I kind of skipped over it from liberalism just right. directly into reformed.
Hippie to reformed.
Yeah, right. Sure. a reformed hippie. Anyhow, I thought I could be that actually at one time in life. That's another story.
We'll do a different podcast.
Different podcast on ministering to the hippies in the Grateful Dead era. But the idea that God has brought this COVID into this world, right? I mean, we believe in God's good sovereign providence, right? And all of the, you know, things that have resulted of that, devastating things in many ways, some man-made, some, you know, as a part because of COVID and it's a sickness and it's a virus. And people succumbed to that and became very ill. But, you know, others, that this is a something that has come into the world that we now, God would now want us to turn away from biblical worship in the way that we see it as revealed in God's word of gathering together on the Lord's Day. And that Christians would see that as a viable alternative or a viable understanding of what COVID has done, that now Christians shouldn't get together on Sunday let's put it this way, that church leadership should start thinking of an alternate way
right.
of getting people together because so many people are afraid of gathering. That people, and maybe that's not the right word. Is it the right word, afraid of gathering together? No, or maybe they've just gotten so out of the routine of getting together on Sunday morning or afternoon or evening that now they're unwilling to do it, that churches have to be flexible enough to change and to orient ourselves around the new society we live in. I mean, I don't know which it is, if it's afraid or the new society. But
I don't think it's the fear. No, see, that's just it. The article that I was reading.
Okay.
And not just the article I was reading. I went and did more research on this. And the sentiment that I was picking up on was not that they were afraid of COVID. I think that for the majority of people realize are kind of past that. But the article I was reading anyway was talking about these people who are just lethargic. They know that they should be in church. They went to church all the way up to COVID. Then everything got disrupted and they stopped going to church and they started doing live streams. Some of the people that were talking about their experience is that they started doing live stream and then they got it down to where they would just, put it on, put on the live stream, keep doing whatever they were doing, mm-hmm. and then turn off to the point where then they don't even remember, where they stopped listening to the live stream. And now their Sundays, they've just enjoyed their Sundays as to themselves.
Yeah, it's just background
now
music.
Right. But now that COVID's over, or, you know, whatever post-COVID, or whatever that means now, they know they should go back to church. And there's just this, I don't know if I want to go back to church. And so this pastor and his wife, because he kept saying, me and my wife and I. So, but him and his wife, that's where they came to the conclusion of a Monday night barbecue. Now, they still said, he still said that he still has this desire somewhere within him to go and start an actual church, kind of more traditional, but he just can't find the motivation to actually get out there and do it. Hmm. And the where I came down on why we should talk about preaching today is because for him, the gathering together as a community of believers, even though I think that he's wrong in how he's doing it, that's still there. Prayer is still there. Singing is still there. But preaching was not. And it's the loss of the biblical structure of church in one sense, but then it's also the complete loss of the main focus of what a church service should be. You come to church in the morning, or you come to church on Sunday. And we come to church on Sunday, as you said, it's biblical. Mm-hmm. Paul said, when you come together, talking about a church service, when you come together, this is on the first day of the week, this is what you should do. I will come to you on the first day of the week. We know that Paul is preaching in the morning on the first day of the week. He's preaching in the evening on the first day of the week. They're gathering offerings on the first day of the week. They're singing hymns on the first day of the week. We are given this biblical model for new covenant believers in how we are supposed to pattern our lives. And part of that is coming together on the first day of the week, singing hymns and reading scripture and prayers and offering and preaching. And the preaching is the word spoken. And the pastor does not stand behind the pulpit saying, here's my word that, or they shouldn't anyway. Here's my word that I've developed that I'm going to give you. No, the pastor stands and says, here is the word of God that I am proclaiming to you. Preaching is proclaiming the word of God. And the people who gather together that morning should come desiring to have the word of God proclaimed to them. And I think that that was starting to become, or has been for maybe for 30 or 40 years, that the idea of preaching has been attacked. I know you have a lot of churches where it used to be preaching was a lot longer than it is now. And I'm not trying to advocate for a biblical mandated minute, minimum or maximum. Mm-hmm. We're not given that. But the fact that when you start seeing churches that reduce the actual preaching from 45 minutes to half an hour to 20 to 15, they're actually losing the emphasis of a preaching. At some point, it's going to be a 2 minute. It probably already has happened in churches where it's just a little 2 minute pep talk.
Well, yeah. Like I said, I've only been to maybe one or two evangelical services that could be described as in that way at a mega church. Mm-hmm. And my experience, and that's been over 20 years now ago. So the experience I saw was drama, very little scripture read, mm-hmm. a short sermon, if it could be called a sermon. And the emphasis was on music. Mm-hmm. So the emphasis was singing, 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 song after song after song, a short scripture, short sermon, and then more singing. So the focus even then wasn't the word, because I don't know how many people stood up and left during that part, but really? Made sure they were back for the singing, because that was the focus, the important thing, because that's the worship. That's the worshipful part, right? That's the emotive right. part. And that's what was understood to be worship, was the emotional aspect of it. And that was just simply my observation of the time. But, you know, there's been a lot of people who have written a lot of stuff about evangelical worship that, you know, far more qualified than me.
Right.
But it appears to me that the centrality of the word is lost. And and that even goes beyond for Reformed worship. That goes beyond the preaching. The centrality of the word is right there as you begin the worship service, when you have a salutation and a call to worship. And in many Reformed and Presbyterian churches, the singing of God's word as a part of that. We do hymns, we do psalms and hymns, but psalms are part of that. And that's singing God's word too. And that's hearing God's word for the law of God or for a call to confess one's sins. And then hearing the word spoken to you by way of a refreshment in the gospel and the reassurance of God's grace and prayer, which is often filled with God's word. And then reading of God's word and lengthy passages, not just snippets, and then a proclamation of God's word. So, and then on some churches weekly, but on other churches regular, a visible word presented to you in the sacrament, the Lord's Supper or baptism, and then a going out with God's word, the benediction. So goodness, I mean, this. The word is what is central in the whole of the worship service. But preaching obviously is the height of it, because the word is there for, is there explained and proclaimed, and God has promised that in the midst of a service like that, that He goes forth with the with His Holy Spirit to change us and to transform our lives, whether that be a sanctifying change or a life-giving change in some way to make us who are dead in trespasses and sins alive together with Christ. I mean, this is the spiritual nature of worship that that is taking place, and the spiritual activity of God in the midst of the ministry of God's word, of proclamation. And we do ourselves a great disservice as those who uphold a wonderful tradition that is rooted in God's word, if we are the ones who fail to see that. And that's why a conversation like this is helpful, to remind ourselves of what God does in the midst of worship, and especially through proclamation, especially through the evangel going forth, to be reminded of this good word and the good activity of this good God, to make people alive who are dead, and to make those who are alive, to bring us further into that understanding and that communion with Jesus Christ, our life-giving fountain, and for us to want to draw on Him more and more, and to drink from Him and to eat of Him more and more. I mean, to be invigorated for another week, right? That's what we get. We got another week of wilderness journey until we get to the Lord's day. I mean, I see our weekly, I probably said this before, people are probably getting sick of it, but I see the weekly routine that God has given us as our wilderness journey in between the comings of Christ. And so, you know, the Lord's day that's previous is a Lord's day that we're living out of, looking back to the cross. The Lord's day in front of us is the Lord's day to come, and we're anticipating it. It's coming, you know, and the week in between is the wilderness journey. And we are the ones who ought not look back to Egypt, but we're look back to the cross and to His powerful Spirit at work within us. And that Spirit sustains us all week long in our Bible reading and the scripture reading and the prayer that we take part in, even as we look forward to the glorious day of Christ's return on the Lord's day, the day of the Lord. And we get that to see, well, look, we get look to look forward to the anticipation of that in the next Lord's day, in the next Lord's day, over and over and over again. So, all right, maybe I see it a little typologically too much, who knows? But to me, that's what I see the Lord's day and the weekly routine or pattern that God has given us as having for us, to always have the day of the Lord before us, and to know that right now we live in between those times, and we live within a wilderness journey, and that journey is ours to live faithfully before the Lord and His teaching ministry, His proclamation ministry, His Spirit, Jesus' spiritual ministry to us through that on the Lord's day, not to neglect the daily activities that we might have, is what sustains us.
Yeah. I got other things we can talk about, but that was really good, I think. But no, let's get through a couple of things, because I think part of the reason why we're doing this today is because we're coming out of COVID restrictions and everything. There are churches that are going to be, let me back up. It's a good thing for churches to have a live stream option for shut-ins, for people who are sick, for people that are just incapable of coming to a service. I think that a live stream option it is great. And if you can't do that, to record the church services and get, especially, you know, for shut-ins, people that are dealing with very serious illnesses, it's wonderful to be able to have the technology that we can get them the service. They can't be there in person, which would be best, but at least we can get them. They can hear the saints singing. They can hear the word spoken, and they can hear it preached. And that's good for them. But of course, we know that there are churches, some churches said, well, we're only going to do live stream now. That's the future of the church. And of course, now you're going to, there's churches that are now metaverse churches. So they have a regular service, but they're also connecting to the metaverse and allowing people to put on their virtual reality sets, and they can virtually.
Are you referring to the Facebook metaverse or something different?
The metaverse is an all-encompassing thing. Facebook is a
metaverse. Part of it. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay. There's different. It's funny because I was actually planning a big episode that we were going to do on the metaverse, and the fact that this is something that churches, conservative churches, are going to have to deal with in the future. How do we handle the metaverse? And then Mortification of Spin did an episode on the metaverse.
Oh, did they?
They beat me to it.
I'm a little behind in my listening to Todd and what's the other guy's name? Oh, Carl. Todd and Carl.
Carl Trueman.
And Carl Trueman. Yeah. So no, I didn't know they did.
Yeah, back in January, I believe it was. It's a church that actually is advertising the metaverse, and it's just something that I saw coming, but I didn't think that it was already happening. And one of their producers, I think, found out this church was doing that. And so, but it's something that is going to be very attractive to a certain segment of the population. This idea of just using a live stream or even doing a virtual where you put on your headset and it's like you're sitting mm-hmm. in a seat there. And you right. can see everything that's happened. You can, and it's like you're sitting there,
right?
But of course, you're not really in the presence of your fellow Christians,
of other human beings. So it's kind of like this. So you know, you put on your VR goggles. The preacher puts on his VR goggles.
No,
right?
No. The preacher doesn't have to put on his. It doesn't.
Oh, he doesn't.
What they do is no. You can. It's basically, and at least the way this church was doing it, it's almost like you're tapped into their Wi-Fi, and so they're just you're seeing their live stream.
So there might be so there's a real service going on.
Yes.
But you're getting into it not via live stream, but by VR.
Right.
So
you're seeing their live stream.
Okay.
So like right now you could put on your VR set and you can like go to YouTube and actually watch your videos, the YouTube videos. Now, some of them, those YouTube videos are going to be really grainy because they're not made for VR. So these churches are actually putting in some sort of filter that will allow VR to see very clearly. So I know.
I say, God help us.
I know. Well, Scripture commands us that we are not to forsake the assembly. We are to be in the physical presence of the people of God. And we are to be physically present when we're hearing the word preached.
Yeah. We are embodied people, creatures.
Right.
And there is something there. We are not looking for the disembodiment of ourselves. That is not our hope. We are human beings that are created in God's image, and that includes this physical body and a soul. And anything that tries to destroy that embodiment is not Christian and not see how that works itself out, but you know, I hope churches don't move in that direction
some will.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, it's already happening. See, that was the thing. It's already happening. Which is why I don't want to discount any kind of live stream for shut-ins. But the people of God, if you're able, you should be there. You're commanded by God to be there. Do not fake the assembly. Place yourselves under the authority of the elders. That's coming and physically being present. And yet we're going to see, as time goes by, we're going to see a stronger pull away from physical presence within the church body. And we can go, this is, maybe we'll do an episode down the road on the push within our society, the metaphysical push to distance ourselves from the idea that the physical is eternal, which we believe as Christians, eternal for the future. It was brought into creation out of nothing, but it will continue for eternity. And that our spirit and our body were created to be eternally united.
And oh yeah.
In
yeah.
today's society, there's a huge push to destroy that understanding. But that's
that's why death is so bad, because it breaks that bond between the two. It separates that which is meant to be together. Anyway, okay, so that's another discussion.
what do we do? I think this is more okay. We've talked before about how people can prepare themselves for Sunday morning.
Okay.
For church, you know, that they are, there should be, well, they should show up to church rested. So, you know, we shouldn't be partying until 3 a.m. on Saturday night. You know, there are times when life makes it so that you don't get to bed till late. We're not
sure,
not
of course,
saying anything against that. But we should be actively seeking to prepare ourselves to be awake and alert and to think about what is happening in the service. Our lives are filled with ups and downs, and there are times when the weight of this world can be crushing upon us that is hard to concentrate. That's, we understand that. We experience that. We've all experienced that. So I'm not saying that you're, you know, that there's a magic formula that you can abide by that will always prepare you wonderfully for the church service. But let me ask you a question, though. If there's people listening that are kind of in a church where the preaching is not the best in and of itself, what would you say? And I'm not talking about heretical. I'm talking about a faithful church with good doctrine that is sincerely, trying to be biblical in everything that they do, but the pastor is just not a strong preacher. What do you tell people?
I'd say encourage your pastor.
How?
By thanking him for the message that he preached. And praying for him and being blessed by the ministry of the word. I mean, it's hard to describe or to get a sense of what you're referring to, because I've been in churches where there haven't been strong preachers, but you're still blessed by the ministry of word in the context of worship. And so, you know, you everyone wants a Sinclair Ferguson as their pastor, right? And preacher.
I do.
Yeah. I mean, we all deserve that, but it's the pastor who's the regular minister of the word, who knows you, who loves you and cares for you. Because a church is not made up of just that one aspect of ministry. It's important. And especially given what we've said today, but I've told people that's not the only thing that you're looking for in a church to be say a member of. You're looking for loving a family of God that you can be a part of and give yourself to in service, and the pastor should be exemplifying those things as well. In some way, you know, it'd be great if he'd be a strong preacher, a strong pastor, a strong shepherd, a strong prayer, a strong this, a strong that, but not all pastors are strong in every way. And some, they have weaker aspects of their ministry. I would, you know, be there, encourage the pastors, being a regular and faithful, attender to the means of grace that God has provided for you. That's what I would want, and to prepare, you know, if it's a weaker sermon, then you go in and you go to the text yourself and you follow up on some of the things he said, whether it be from your own study or maybe reading a book or asking the pastor a few questions to sort of fill it out, or an elder or in someone else in the church that, that is helpful along those lines. So, you were started off that question about, you know, how do we prepare, to get in there, or at least started this, that discussion. Mm-hmm. And I was quickly moving over to remembering Larger Catechism has a question and answer with regard to that. Mm-hmm. And you know, if there's two questions, actually, there's how is the word of God to be preached? And then there is what's required of those who hear the word preached. What's required of those are what's required of those who are called to preach, like how is the word of God to be preached? The answer is this. They that are called to labor in the ministry of the word are to preach sound doctrine diligently in season and out of season, plainly, not in the enticing words of man's wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, faithfully making known the whole counsel of God, wisely applying themselves to the necessities and capacities of the hearers, zealously with fervent love to God and the souls of his people, sincerely aiming at his glory and their conversion, edification, and salvation. All right, so that's how the word of God is to be preached. That's incumbent upon the preacher. What is required of those that hear the word preached? It's required of those that hear the word preached that they attend upon it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. Examine what they hear by the scriptures. Receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the word of God. Meditate and confer of it. Hide it in their hearts, and bring forth the fruit of it in their lives. Okay, so that's required of we who hear the preaching of the word, right? I mean, to attend to it with diligence, preparation, and prayer. You know, how often do we not do this? Are we praying for our pastor who's going to preach throughout the week? If we are a church that gets the text beforehand, like our church is, we have a weekly, Westminster Weekly that comes out Fridays that gives the text of what's going to be there in the morning. Do we read through it? Do we ask questions of it ourselves? Examine what they hear by the scriptures. Is what's being said right? Are you sort of just receiving it with, you know, without a sense of anything? Or are you like the Bereans, right? Testing it, checking it, thinking through other passages of scripture along with it, right? You hope you don't get too much of a rabbit trail, but that's not a bad thing sometimes, of thinking through the text as you're listening to it. Receive the truth with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind. Okay, as the word of God. Okay, so it was a weak sermon. This gets to another point that you're saying. But is it something you can receive with truth? Was it right? Was it faithful? Was it something you can receive with faith, love, meekness, and readiness of mind as the word of God? If it is right, if it is according to God's word, then you should be able to do that. And it's something that you should be able then to meditate upon. You can hide it in your hearts and pray that the Spirit would bring forth fruit in your life, right? And actually seek to seeing that fruit come forth in your life. Seek to put it into practice, the things that you're hearing. So, you know, no matter how strong that preaching is, whether it's, you know, a Sinclair Ferguson quality, and by that I mean, you know, just the right examples, just the right illustrations, just the right tone. I mean,
the right accent.
Just the right Scottish accent. God has gifted that man to be able to bring that word of God in a proclamatory way and in a teaching way that most people can receive it in such a way that they are blessed beyond measure, right? And there are others whose tone of voice is not as conducive to all people's ears, or they don't have the energy that sort of brings the force of it that others might, or the organization isn't as great, or the illustrations aren't as wonderful. But that does not mean that the power of the Spirit of God is not at work. through that man who is bringing the gospel, a duly called, ordained man who's been placed there for that particular congregation. This is why one reason I'm not all too keen about, you know, putting sermons online just for everyone, because it's for those people. That man is called for those people. Now, it can be good for others, right? It can have that blessing, like a ministry of Sinclair Ferguson or others. We know we're using him because he's known to us. But a man is called to that congregation for that ministry and for his flock.
Whoa. That's a different episode.
For that flock. And he might not be gifted to bring that word well to others, but that flock has called him. And so they're the ones who are there to hear him. And that's good. So he might not be strong in that ways, but he might be strong in other ways for God to use him in that body and to use him well, such that they love him and he loves them. And that's how God works, through weak vessels like me and others that are just the small town or small congregation pastor who aren't looking to write books, have their name throughout the world, or anything like that. They're not looking for that. They don't even want that. They just want to serve the local body the way that God has called them. And that's all that we should be expecting as a local congregation, I think, from our pastor. Is faithful in the ministry of the word, faithful in pastoring me, and faithful in praying for me, and faithful in that visitation of me and my family and others in the church, and that leadership in the session, so on. And he's going to be strong and weak in different places, and sometimes maybe at different times in his life, and depending on things going on in his life. Yes. And the ministry.
I think that's a good point.
Excuse me.
There'll be times in. Pastors are people too, and throughout their lives, there's going to be good times and bad times.
I'm so glad you had to remind us of that, Rob, that pastors are people too.
That's my new sitcom. If there have been people throughout the years that would come to me or talk to me or write me about, my pastor is a weak preacher, and therefore, what should I do? I've had that question before. And if my first question always is he faithful theologically? Is he faithful to Scripture? And if they say yes, then it's well, then, like you were saying, encourage them. The elders, if the pastor is willing and humble to seek to try to improve his structure, his actual delivery, I don't think there's anything wrong with the elders taking and saying, I think maybe you could do some help in this area. I think that's fine. I think the pastor should be willing to hear that and to seek help. But I'm not, if he's faithful as a pastor and he's faithful in his content, but he's not preaching the strong, like Sinclair Ferguson, that doesn't concern me as much as someone that comes and says that their pastor does not shepherd them. I think that's far, because that's something a pastor is. That's what a pastor is, a shepherd. And they are to care for their flock. A good shepherd knows his sheep. He knows them intimately, and he cares for them. And so there are other areas with being a pastor where the weakness is actually a failure in what they've been called to do, like shepherding. But when the weakness is just in, the like you were saying, the natural ability that God has given them, mm-hmm. but they're faithful to the word of God, that shouldn't be something that makes people want to leave a church. But if they're not, like I said, if they're not caring for them spiritually, well, then that's a very serious problem that the pastor is failing at.
Yeah.
So I guess... We began this in one sense talking about what do we do post COVID. Now that those pastors are saying, well, this is going to give me an opportunity now to reinvent what we do on Sunday. Well, we aren't the ones who invented it. God invented it by telling us what he would have us do and how we worship him. So what do we do post-COVID? We go back to the Word of God and we say, how am I going to structure our Sunday, our church worship service biblically? And if that looks vastly different post-COVID, that only means that you weren't doing it right pre-COVID.
Yeah.
If it's done biblically.
Right. Well, thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. Of course, you can find us at reformforum.org, and you can contact us at mail@reformedforum.org if you have any questions or, you know, want to tell us how much you really, really like our podcast. Well, you can also go to, iTunes or something like that and give us, you know, 5-star reviews, because that's always great. Go to reformforum.org to check out all of the wonderful things that are there. We mentioned the Reformed Academy, but there's other podcasts. Of course, Crisis Center, flagship podcast of Reformed Forum, as well as the other one that I'm forgetting right now. Proclaiming Christ. That's it. and the guys there that talk about passages of Scripture and how they might preach it. And you can also go to westminsteropc.org to find out more about the congregation that Rob and I serve. There's also chicagoreform.org, which is a website which just has congregations of the OPC within the Chicagoland area on it. And you can check that out if you're looking for a church in the Chicagoland area. And so, once again, thanks for taking the time to be with us on another episode of Theology Simply Profound. Until next time.